here in my garage,
here in my backyard.
Why are you focused on all the wrong stuff?
Where did you go, man? Because I didn't see you for years.
I mean, just owning big brands, we were doing more than $500 million a year.
How does it affect you personally when you've got a lot of people trolling you?
A complete scam.
YouTube's most infamous fake guru.
I went from zero money to making $8,000 a month on autopilot 9 months later. Remember, AI is going to change everything. Literally in real estate, too. 20% of the deals make you 80% of your profit. People say I'm the godfather of horses.
What are the massive changes that you see coming down the next sort of 5-10 years? So, Ty Lopez, welcome to the Samuel Leeds podcast.
Welcome to Denmark.
You know what? I imagine everybody knows who you are. I imagine. But for those that don't, you're probably most famous, certainly in the UK, for your notorious "Here in my garage" advert. I mean, you must still get people now when they see you saying, referring to that.
Yeah, I was just walking down the street in Denmark yesterday and a guy was like, "Man, I saw that video come up yesterday." And yeah, that. It's funny. People know me for different stuff. Some people know me for giveaways. Some people know me. It's like everything. I've done like 4 campaigns that have gone just insanity, like over 100 million views. That was the first one.
When you made that first video that blew up, "Here in my garage," did you know that that was going to blow up? Or was it kind of lucky? Or what happened?
All success has some luck. But I would say, you know, I can tell when it's like a banger and has a high probability, but sometimes it just doesn't. Virality right now with the algorithm has a lot to do with a little bit of luck and who else is posting at the same time. Because if somebody else is posting something good, those views get eaten up. So I tell people to go viral, you got to post more and you have to do variations of the same thing. Like I have other variations of "Here in my garage."
I've seen them. "Here in my yard."
Yep. But even the "Here in my garage" one in that actual, I call it the 12-12-12 formula. When I'm trying to go viral, I record 12 variations of one concept. And then I'll upload them. And usually there's something called optimal stopping math, which means the short version is it's called the secretary problem. If you're trying to hire a secretary, how many do you interview before you make your choice? In general, the answer is 12 to 25. So math, and there's complicated math behind that. But when I'm trying to find a variation to go viral, most people just post one or two things. It's not good odds. It's like anything in life. Real estate deals like you do, you're going to have this 80-20 rule, this Pareto principle. 20% of the deals make you 80% of your profit. So that's somewhat similar to optimal stopping. You need variety to find winners, you know?
I mean, that's an interesting question. So a lot of my audience are property entrepreneurs, property investors, UK-based.
Yep.
And I believe that everybody should be marketing their business, marketing themselves. And that's why I wanted to get you on the channel, because you're a business genius, but definitely a marketing genius. So the question is, when you're marketing in the early stages, should you be marketing your personal brand or your business brand?
Yeah.
Because I see a lot of confusion about that. People even message me from like MTC Properties. I'm like, who the heck is that?
Right.
It turns out it's my mate.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing? And there's a lot of confusion around business brand, personal brand. How do you, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a question I get a lot, because a lot of people are introverted, have social anxiety, and they're like, "Ty, I don't want to build a personal brand. How do I do it faceless? You know, how to build a faceless brand?" So here's what I think. Going forward, remember, AI is going to change everything, literally in real estate too. It's going to touch every industry. I just saw this Chinese assembly line with factory worker robots coming off. Like blue collar jobs are going to disappear because there's going to be robots. There already obviously are robots in factories, but I'm talking about robots instead of FedEx, instead of UPS guy. It's going to be a robot, gets off the truck, never gets hurt, never gets tired, works 24/7.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about HR complaints. When it comes to something like real estate, same thing. It's going to slowly, big corporations like BlackRock, Blackstone, they're going to be able to find deals using AI. Right now, real estate, the reason real estate works for the last 100 years is it's a fragmented industry. So there's no one central database with one algorithm that tells you what the best deals are. A lot of good deals are off market, blah, 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 blah. Slowly but surely, AI is going to take that all over. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, when that happens, what are humans going to have left? just your personal brand. That's it. So if you don't have a personal brand, you're the first to be replaced by AI in every industry. So personal brand is the ultimate insurance policy for the modern world. You better have a personal brand about something. Now, once again, I got a friend who's the most introverted and probably the best marketer in the world. He's making like $1 million a day. He doesn't put his face on anything. But what he does is he hires experts in different fields, builds a product around them and puts their face on it. And then he owns the intellectual property. Going back to your friend that's sending you like MCT properties, that stuff's gonna, that shit's gonna disappear. You're gonna get destroyed doing that. So either you're gonna have to have a real estate company with your own face, or you're gonna have to have a real estate company that you put somebody else's face in front of it.
Mm.
Because I wrote a book called The Three Trends. And in The Three Trends, I basically say, if you look at wealth in the last 500 years, there's been three trends. First was the rise of governments and military. You basically, in the 1500s, the only way you got wealthy, there was no entrepreneur. You couldn't form an LLC or LTD and launch your own entrepreneurial business. There were people who had little farm businesses, but Cortez, Magellan, Christopher Columbus, they went with the blessing of a government, the king, with the military. They went to South America and they got rich off all the gold. They shot people, killed people, stabbed people, right? So that was the first wave. Governments and military is how you got wealthy. Around the 1700s, 1800s, really the end of the 1600s, you had the steam engine, the rise of factories and industrial age. That was the beginning of corporations. That's wave two, trend two. Now, trend two is still here. You got big corporations like Microsoft and so on. But the third trend is the rise of the personal brand. And even with corporations like Tesla, for example. So you got a car company. You got five other big car companies, like Ford, you know, Daimler, Chrysler, Mercedes, BMW, all these. Tesla's worth more than the top five car companies all combined. Why? Because Elon Musk tapped into the third trend and put his face in front of the business. He didn't make it just a faceless corporation. Ford's faceless. Henry Ford had been dead for almost whatever, 50 to 100 years. So if you have a company in property and you don't want to put your face on it, that's fine. I always tell people, you can be comfortable or you can be rich, but not both. So some people go, "Oh, I'm not comfortable putting my face on my company." Okay. Somebody else is going to be uncomfortable and get rich and you're not going to be the one. So, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs are weak in my experience, especially beginners. You know, part of the way you make more money is being less weak. So a lot of people go, "Oh, I'm not comfortable putting my face in front of my," oh, okay. Would you rather be rich or would you rather be comfortable? Would you rather be rich or would you rather be right? A lot of people want to prove they're right. No, Todd, let me tell you why corporate. It's all around you. Even Mark Zuckerberg, who's actually currently the richest man in the world on Forbes, if you go by Forbes, he disappeared from the face of Facebook for 10 years. But I think in the last 2 years, you see him coming out, posting more. I get DMs, you know, he has this DM group on Instagram. He realized, my name is Mark Zuckerberg, and if I don't put my face on Facebook, Instagram, or WhatsApp, somebody's going to destroy me. TikTok.
That's really interesting. Yeah. So you think generally people that start in a business, if they don't put their face on it, it's because they're cowards, potentially.
Well, a lot of people are introverts. Some of it's genetic. Some of it's social. I think most people, a lot of people that call themselves introverts are just have social anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do it without your face. You just got to put somebody else's face. Which has other problems.
It does big problems.
Yeah, they can take your business.
Yeah, you can fall out with them. You haven't got airtight contracts. So let's say it's your face then. So you're starting a real estate business. You're doing wholesaling, deal selling, rental arbitrage, whatever it is. And you're trying to make a name in the real estate community. So you start an account or do you start a new account? Do you just use your, if you've got like a Facebook and Instagram account. And
in general, it's better to use the one you already have momentum on.
Right. Don't have two accounts. That's another question I was going to ask you. Should you have a business account and a personal account?
For most people, it's so hard for them to get any momentum on Instagram and Facebook. I'm like, just use the one that already has a little momentum.
Right.
You could do a business one, but most of the time I see people with a personal and a business, the business page fails and the personal page wins.
Mm.
So it's like a split test. I can't think of one situation where I've seen a business page beat.
Do you have a secret personal page somewhere with just your friends and family and pictures of your dog?
No, because all my personal stuff I do like on a WhatsApp group with my family. I'm not going to do it on Instagram. Anything you put on Instagram, privacy is dead,
brother. Yeah, yeah.
So you start putting, people are like, oh, I'll make a private Instagram. I'm like, that's an oxymoron. There's no private Instagram.
Yeah.
Facebook, Meta owns your stuff. So if you're doing stuff with family, you're better off to do Telegram or even WhatsApp, even though it's on the Meta platform, is definitely more private than
But people Facebook, people say Instagram. To me, I don't want to have two, I want to have two accounts.
Yeah.
Because I want a personal and a business, because that way on my personal, I can post pictures of my dinner and my cat. And I'm like, well, why not just not post that at all?
Exactly. Like it's nobody pointless. Cares about your dinner and cat.
No.
I literally,
that can be WhatsApp.
On my WhatsApp, I have a family. It's called Happy Family Conversations. The reason I named it Happy Family is because my family started arguing about politics. So I'm like, yo, I'm renaming this chat. It's only Happy Conversations, because I have like half my family's like more liberal Democrat, half my family's more Republican. So you put them in one WhatsApp chat, people start posting political memes.
Mate, people can fall out big.
Yeah, that's why you got a name.
Even
you
in the UK, if you mention Trump in a group, half of people are like, he's horrible. Half of it, he's amazing. And now suddenly you've got a divided family.
So that's what I said. Name your family chats on Telegram or WhatsApp Happy Family Conversations only. When somebody puts something controversial, I delete it right away.
Let me talk to you about paid ads as well. I get a lot of new startup companies that are saying to me like, oh, can you help me with Facebook ads? And my opinion, I'd be interested in your thoughts. Maybe you disagree with me.
Yeah.
But my thoughts are, don't be spending money on Facebook ads until you've at least first tried to do some organic stuff and you've got a little bit of a following organic, because otherwise it's just like a black hole, just money down a black hole. Get your organic stuff going. And then if you do an organic post and it goes really well, then pay.
Right. Then you can boost it. Yeah. In general, I mean, look, what people don't realize is marketing is a skill. So sometimes people are like, yo, just go make some Facebook ads. Well, that's like saying to somebody, yo, go build an apartment complex real quick. Like, do you know how?
Right.
Because or else if I just take a hammer, I don't know how to build apartments. If you give me a hammer and go, you know, Ty, I made a lot of money in apartments. You go build one. Well, you can't build if you don't know what you're doing. So sometimes people who are good at marketing just throw out to all their friends, yeah, just make some Facebook ads. Well, Facebook ads is a great way. Why is Mark Zuckerberg the richest person in the world? From his, most of his revenue is from the ad platform on Meta. Mm-hmm. So people are out here buying ads, getting no results half the time. 80% of the people who do Facebook ads basically lose money. So I think of it like I divide business into 14 divisions. I've had big companies where I had, you know, 8,000 people reporting to me. So when you have a huge company, you need to have a divisional structure. I had division 5 is branding and organic. Then once you get good at that, you progress into division 6. That's marketing and paid ads. Then division 7 is sales. That's like phone sales, one-on-one sales. So yes, get good at organic, but you know, once you find a post, boosting to accelerate it is not that hard.
Right.
Where people mess up is they post some cheesy ad and spend money on it. So you're better off to try to, when people do organic reels and stuff and TikToks, they're usually more playful, authentic, and less formal. It's funny. I'll see somebody who's so good at organic, they make these funny, you know, reels, da da da. And then when it comes to paid ads, they're like, hello, my name is Ty Lopez. I am selling this product. Right, would you like? Right. I'm like, bro, stick with the vibe that you did to go viral.
That's working.
Yeah, so stick with the vibe that's catchy.
So when you're creating an ad, would you suggest looking at organic stuff, seeing what's popping?
Yes, for sure.
And recreating it or just using the same one?
I just started experimenting. It's interesting. It doesn't always work. I take my most viral reels. I have this reel, for example, about tequila, how it's healthiest. Somebody's asked me, what's the healthiest drink? I'm like, tequila. Some people thought I was wrong, so it went super viral, even though I posted the science later about how tequila has all these probiotic effects. But I've taken that video and put the first 30 seconds of it, and then it just cuts to an ad, me selling something totally different. It gets a crazy click-through rate. And because people are like, you're taking something known to go viral and making it the opening hook. The only downside of that, sometimes it distracts people if it's like, my tequila viral TikTok or Insta as the beginning, and then it cuts to like me selling, you know, something completely unrelated, me selling real estate. But in general, that's the right vibe to do. What I do, I like to tweet. I use Twitter or X now. I'll tweet all these concepts and I look at which ones get twice the view, twice the likes, and then build an ad around that.
Right.
I just did one. I just did a tweet the other day and it got like 4X normal. I consider 4X normal, I consider insane outlier. Regular outlier is 2 times the baseline. So if somebody's posting, your followers are posting and they get on average, you know, 1,000 views on a reel. If all of a sudden they post something and gets more than 4,000, build around that concept.
Right, that's smart.
Yeah.
So you're just looking at what you're doing, seeing what's working. I'll do the same. If I post something and it tanks, I think probably not going to post that again.
Yeah. One thing you got to be careful. Sometimes you tank just because the algorithm that moment was pushing something else. So I usually post the same concept a few times to give it a chance. You got to give it a chance.
So let's say then you're starting a new real estate business.
Yeah.
And you've got a new account. What kind of stuff can you start posting? Because a lot of people really overthink this. They think, you know, oh, I need to create content.
Yeah.
And I need to get a following and I need to sit in a basement somewhere with a really expensive camera and think about what I'm going to create. Help that person.
Well, there's this, I used to do this quote for people who overthink things. And, you know, that's what you're based at the core. That's somebody who just overthinks stuff and never starts.
Or just doesn't know what to post.
Know what to do. But that's, they call that, my mentor used to call that paralysis by overanalysis.
Yes.
Right? So the first trillionaire was Napoleon Bonaparte. He was the French general, right? People don't realize he's richer than Putin is now. He controlled all of Europe, all of Western Europe, right? And all the way to Russia. And he had this saying, and it's funny, I always quoted the English version, the American. So the American translation is attack and then plan. But I like to go straight to the source. So I actually read the French words for Napoleon. That's not what he said. It translates directly from French, attack, and then we'll see. So when people go, how do I build my personal brand? Post.
Yeah.
Then we'll see what works.
Right.
And you post more of that. And we'll also see what doesn't work.
Right.
So if you're launching any kind of business in the modern world, yes, a plan is good. I'm a fan. I use ChatGPT to make business plans. You can make very accurate business plans. Just talk. I talk to ChatGPT. I'll be like, look, watch. I'll go right here. Use ChatGPT 4. Click on this little button right here, which is the voice to text. All right, I want to move to London and start a real estate property business. I'm here with Samuel, has a big podcast about real estate. I'm thinking I want to make £1 million a year profit. And I'm going to do rent to rent or rental arbitrage in London. So I want you to help me do the business plan of the math, how many properties I need, let's say 2 years from now, and I'm going to be making $1 million a year. So I'm going to ask Samuel some questions here. What do you think the average rent to rent will profit you per year?
About £11,000 a year.
Okay, so the average property will do £11,000 a year. How much capital do I need to start to take one? You got to put some down.
$5,000.
So I need $5,000 per property and it should net me back $11,000. So just do a real simple business plan. I would do a more complicated one, but I'm on a podcast right now. Just calculate how much capital do I need? How many properties do I need to manage? And guesstimate how much staff I would need helping me if I'm just a one person company. How many people do I need to hire? And give me the short version. Just give me the 50 word paragraph. No more than 50 words. All right, that was a minute 24. Now you press a button, it has the best. ChatGPT is gonna destroy Google and probably Apple.
I don't use Google much anymore. I use ChatGPT.
Why would you have to think through your search like you do on Google? You have to think. Oh, imagine what I just said on Google. You can't do that.
Yeah.
ChatGPT is I call it the genius framework. It'll instantly turn you into a genius. Even if you're kind of dumb, you connect your brain.
Is that part of how you think that AI is going to revolutionize? Yeah.
Real estate? Already revolutionized everything.
Everything.
And because all money in the modern world is made by thinking. Most people are rich, didn't do it by farming or manufacturing, right? Now wealth is created. It's called the, you know, the knowledge society. Okay, you need approximately 91 properties, 454,000 in capital. You need to hire about five people, 3 to 5 people.
Do you know what would be better than 91 properties, 91 units?
There you go.
Two buildings.
So anyway, back to your original question. I will do business plans, but I do them quick. Using ChatGPT, it used to take a month to do a good business plan. Now you can do it in about 30 minutes to make it refined. Anyway, so if you want to build a business, what you do, make a quick plan like that and then attack. And then we'll see. Mm-hmm. As Napoleon said. So if you want to build your social media presence, post.
Yeah.
Then you'll start. It's the ultimate democracy. When I post on Instagram, the votes are the likes.
Right.
Likes are votes. So you can just, people are like, what should I post? I'm like, use your brain.
See what people are voting for.
Exactly. The people have spoken. But you know what's crazy? The sickness of entrepreneurs is doing what works, stopping and never doing it again. So many, I was just, I like to analyze people's Instagram at like my masterminds. I have a big mastermind called 300 Mastermind. So I have 300 people, you know, and people all be like, let me look at your Instagram. People open up their Instagram. There was a lady, where was I? I was in Monaco, Cannes, France, literally last week. And this woman has a pretty big cosmetic brand in Germany. I look at her Insta. She's like, what do I do better? I'm scanning through. She's pretty big. She gets on average like 300,000 views on her reels. I'm scanning. All of a sudden, 8 million.
Mm-hmm.
What's this?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, I posted me and my husband instead of just me alone. Then I scroll back, 6 million views, her and her husband.
Right.
I said, why out of your last 100 posts do you have two that did 20x anything else, 40x?
Can you tell this?
And you only did it once or twice.
Tell this to my wife. Whenever I post her,
you get more views.
I get more views.
Yeah.
But then she don't want to be on it. So
you got to ask her, would you rather be rich or comfortable?
She says, we're already rich.
Would you rather be richer or more comfortable?
I'll comply.
There you go. No, it's not comply. It's not comply to us. It's comply to the market.
There we go. There we go.
So you make the views go up.
I do, yeah.
Doesn't that boost your ego a little? Or you don't have an ego?
I'm happy to be in the background. I don't want to be out there.
But you like the money.
I do usually do it dirty, but...
It's a fight.
Yeah.
It's a fight.
If you could have twice the money in your bank account, but had to be uncomfortable on camera, would you do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Would you rather be rich or would you rather be comfortable?
I love that slogan.
I'm going to tell you, 99% of people in their conscious mind say, Ty, I'd rather be rich. But I'm very interested in psychology and I don't care about the conscious mind. It's very boring to me because it's pre-programmed by society. So then I look at your behavior.
Mm.
Then I know the true you. That's the unconscious mind.
Yeah.
So you've been acting in a way where your conscious and unconscious are in conflict. Your unconscious mind behaves as if it would rather be comfortable than rich. But when you think about it, Freud called that the pre-conscious, then the conscious. You start to go, wait a sec, that doesn't make sense. I'd rather be rich. But that's why you have to talk people. Freud called it the talking cure. When you talk people through stuff, they start going, like that lady in Monaco. I was going, okay, 8 million views, 300,000. If you got always 8 million views, revenues and income's pretty proportional.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you've been making so much more money.
Yeah.
She goes, well, but I cured her. She's like, I think I'm going to make more money. So you're going to have to do the talking cure, my friend.
Where did you go, man? Because I didn't see you for years.
Yeah.
It's only the last 6 months or so. I've seen you back popping.
I bought big companies, really big US. I actually almost bought the most big brands during COVID, the most US brands, even more than big private equity companies. Retail brands. So I was super busy that, but also even before that, I just wanted a break from personal branding. So now I'm back.
Were you being a bit comfortable?
I wouldn't say comfortable because I went into something that was even harder than what I did.
What before. We did?
I mean, just owning big brands. We were doing more than I was, you know, owner and CEO doing more than $500 million a year. So that's now I had publicly traded companies and all this stuff. So I wouldn't say I got more comfortable. No, I probably got more uncomfortable, but They call it, professors get a sabbatical. That's where every certain amount of years you get a year or two off. So I took my sabbatical. I'm good now for another, I'll build my brand for another 7 or so years and then I'll take a break.
What business are you most sort of excited about? And
I like online education. You know, like when I rolled out online courses back way 2012, 2013, people say I'm the godfather of courses, you know, like people thought it was a scam because 10 years ago, people really still thought universities was for everybody.
Right.
Now, the truth is universities are for some people. You want to become a doctor or something, but they're horrible for the masses of humanity. Mm-hmm. Most people just in the U.S. getting some bullshit four-year degree in English. You know, I always told people, I met a guy, he's like, oh, I'm getting an English degree. I said, where were you born? He said, America. I said, what's your first language? Said, English. I said, how much are you paying for your degree? He said, $20,000 a year. Who is this con artist? That was like, you were born speaking English, then I'm going to charge you to learn English. You know, Hemingway didn't have an English degree. He's one of the great writers of all time. So I built courses and they changed my life. 2001, I had no money. I grew up, you know, my dad was in prison when I was born, single mom. She never made probably more than 10 grand a year. I graduated high school living in a mobile home. You know what those are? Like the poor people. So for me, you know, what changed my life? A course I bought online from a guy named Corey Rudel. It showed me how to do Google AdWords in 2001. I mean, I started young as a teenager, and that course took me in 9 months. I used it to generate leads for my phone sales. I was doing sales, selling insurance, financial products. And I went from literally zero money, $47 in my bank account, to making $8,000 a month on autopilot 9 months later. Okay, that in my family was like unheard of, right? And I never looked back since then. So for me, courses online are the most efficient thing. You can buy multiple ones. If you don't like them, you don't watch them, you wasted a little bit of money, but you always find one good lesson. You can do it while you're at the gym. You can do it. So I buy courses now.
Yeah, I do. I'm a massive advocate. And books as well.
Yeah, you know, books. Book is a course.
Yeah. If you're going through the airport, I mean, I'll buy 5-6 books. Yeah. I can't resist. My attitude is if someone spent 5 years of their life putting together a book, which I can read in 5 hours, it would be a sin not to at least read it.
And also remember, you get to download the wisdom and experience of somebody's 40 years doing something in 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You can read a summary, or you can do the whole book in 4 to 8 hours.
How does it affect you personally? I mean, I know, you know, you're a human being.
Yeah.
You're very successful. But when you've got a lot of people trolling you and saying you're a scam.
Yeah.
And I've had similar things as well. You know? But how does it affect you on a personal level?
Well, just remember, the reason you have it, like I've had it, whenever you talk on touchy subjects, like money, nothing brings out the primitive instincts in humans. Because think about it. If you were selling a course on how to wear shirts, like how to have style, not much controversy because people don't care much about it.
Right.
You could have a video all the time. I'll teach you how to be the best dressed man in London. You're going to get this much hate. You'll get a few people say, oh, I don't like your style, blah, blah. You talk about anything that's actually important to humanity. Because remember, you spend more time in your career than with your kids, with your spouse. Like the things humans do the most is you spend time sleeping and working. If you do the math, let's say the average person, even entrepreneur, works 8 hours a day and sleeps 7 hours. That's 15 hours out of 24 hours. So when you talk about making money, be prepared. I got no hate. I used to do book summaries. Zero hate for years. Then I was like, let me do something more important for humanity. Let me show people like me that the world gave up on. You didn't have the same opportunities. Remember, 80% of billionaires grew up in wealthy families, but that's a small percent. 99% of Earth didn't grow up with a rich family. So I was like, I'm going to build courses for the 99% who didn't have rich parents.
Yeah.
And of course it's going to make people mad. First off, you're challenging people's society's beliefs. Most people have spent 4 to 8 years in the college education system, if you start saying, well, I can do it in a course for $50, they're going to go scam, scam, scam. I'm like, what do you mean? My course, my 67 step course was $67. Okay. And had a refund policy.
Mm-hmm.
What university has a refund policy? They should actually force universities to have a refund policy. So if you come through it and you were like, bro, I would have been good at psychology. You put me in an art. You let me take an art degree. I want my money back.
Mm. Do you think people are less critical of you now?
Oh, of course.
Than they were. Yeah, I don't see it too much now. I mean, I see this.
If you're right, eventually people back down.
Yeah.
So when I told people, like my Hair in My Garage video, I saw.
After 10 years though, bro. I mean, it wasn't like.
Oh, humans are slow to catch up.
6 months.
I saw a video that went crazy viral. I commented on it. My comment has like 10,000 likes on my comment. And it's a video of my Hair in My Garage and some kids going, if only I had listened back then. Because now people are building course. Like,
first off,
80% of the people who are big influencers right now are my students. I can just name the biggest influencer on YouTube. These are all people who have gone through my program. So they were pioneers. The average person in society is what's called a pragmatist. They don't adopt anything early. So if people had listened to me back in 2014, 2015 here in my garage, they would have had almost a 10-year head start to build their personal brand. Yeah. So now people are building their personal brand. You can still do it. It's not too late. But dude, when I started my podcast, which is like 2012, there was like 10 big podcasts, maybe. In business, there was like three.
Yeah.
There was like Gary Vee. He wasn't even really doing it that much. He had a wine one. Tim Ferriss and me.
Yeah.
I became number two podcast, business podcast. I don't do as much anymore, but my point is it's easier when you're early, but when you're early, you got to have thick skin and put up with criticism. Right. So most people would rather be comfortable than rich.
But that's where it links back as well to what you were saying about even AI. People need to get in early on that.
Oh yeah. Well, AI is going to be a whole new.
How do you think then? What do you think the key things, especially in the real estate industry, but in business in general, what are the massive changes that you see coming down the next sort of 5-10 years?
Become creative and become a thinker, become a brand, because I can't think of one thing. I mean, first off, like medicine, surgery is going to be done by AI robots. If you're an Uber driver, you better take your course, because if you drive an Uber, it's going to be driverless. There's going to be robots that. Airline pilots, even though we say, oh no, I want to be in an airplane with a human. Well, first off, they already use autopilot all the time.
Yeah.
So it's not much of a jump. There might be a dude in the cockpit, but best thing is going to be flown by. So the real question is, what can you do that won't be changed and destroyed by AI? That's a better. So is it real estate? Negotiating deals. This is one. Because at the end of the day, the way you make money, I buy real estate, but I do farmland. That's my asset class that I know real well. The way you make money in real estate is how good you are at negotiating.
Right.
So go deep on learning psychology and how to read people and read persuasion, psychology books, deal making. That's something that will survive AI. The next 20 years, if you're a good deal maker, you'll be able to make money, even though most people have lost their income from AI.
Because even if you've got AI that finds all the best deals from the internet, scrapes the internet, you still need to be able to negotiate them.
Yes.
There's the sales aspect.
Absolutely.
That you need.
Real estate is mostly, like real estate, people misunderstand what real estate is. You could be skilled at building, da, 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 da. There's a million people that do that. It's the people that know how to walk in and buy it for cheaper than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
They always say, real estate, you make money on purchase, not the sale 10 years later.
Do you have farmland in the UK, by any chance?
No, but I would like, I looked at some.
I can help you with that.
Yeah.
I can definitely help you with that.
You have any? Where's your backup plan?
I've got a lot of land, but I don't grow crops on there, but I could.
You need to.
I've got a castle with 8 acres
of, do you all have kids? Land.
Yeah, we've got three kids, fourth on the
land. Where's your backup plan? I was in London during 2020, during the whole quarantine. Whole Foods didn't have eggs for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's true.
Food store, man, if I lived in that little island.
Is that why you have farmland? Is that why you have it?
Because it's a great backup plan.
Really?
And also, I like to follow the sharpest business people in the world. What do the two richest people in the world do? In the last 10 years, the richest two people have been Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates. Bill Gates owns the most farmland in America. And Jeff Bezos has been catching up to him. So whenever I see Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates doing something, I'm like, these guys know something that the rest of us don't know.
Yeah, they own a lot of land.
They own, I think Bill Gates owns like 0.02% of American farmland. I've heard that Bezos, I don't know if it's true, but I've heard a rumor through my grapevine that he owns five times more. He owns 1% of American farmland. Could be true.
Talking of different countries.
Yeah.
We're in Denmark right now.
Yeah.
Which is where you've got businesses and things.
Yeah.
Where do you think some of the best countries to do business? Because I wouldn't have thought Denmark. I mean, I Googled the highest taxes in the world and Denmark came up number one.
Yeah.
So I'm interested that you're doing stuff here.
So first off, you know, you got to look at corporate tax because corporate tax in Scandinavia is not that high. Personal tax is high. But when I was in California, in Beverly Hills, I was paying 52.5% taxes. And then Beverly Hills was trying to come after me for 1% more.
52% what
52.5.
What tax was that though?
America 39 federal.
Yeah.
13.5% approximately California. Now, you know, one of my brothers lives in California. I'm like, bro, as long as you're poor, you're great to live in California because the taxes kick in. But the first time you write a seven-figure check to the IRS, you rethink your whole, like, and I'm not talking about 1 million. I'm talking about when you write millions.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's one of the top entrepreneurs in LA. He's like, I'm pissed every April 15th when I got to write $10 million checks.
Now, my personal income tax was over £1 million like this last year. Yeah. And it's like, you start to re-look at everything.
Yeah.
And think, man, do I need to move? Where are you based? Where's your residence?
I mean, the thing about America, once you're American citizen, don't matter. I can move to Mars. You get taxed on all global and I guess in that case, solar system income.
Yeah.
But in general, yeah. So like people, like if you're not American citizen, don't rush to get your American citizenship. There's some good things about America. Don't get me wrong. America is the place with the most open-minded. It has the biggest consumer base of people who will buy stuff. But
your income tax is always going to be based in America if you're a citizen.
Now there's advanced things you can do to minimize, but you can live in Puerto Rico. You can get some of your taxes to zero, some to four, but some doesn't change at all. Like if you're doing real estate in America, it's very hard. Moving to Puerto Rico doesn't help you. So one of the things to do, depending on your business model, for sure, is I always tell people, anybody making $100,000, I can make you a millionaire overnight. They're like, how? I'm like, move to Brazil, Thailand, Bali.
Right.
Maybe not Bali. Bali's gone up. But I was just in Brazil and I'm going, why am I? I have all these American friends. You know, not all my friends. Most of my friends aren't rich. I just grew up with regular friends. Some of them lived in mobile homes like me. They're making $70,000 to $200,000 a year. I think, why are you torturing yourself? If you went to Brazil, your money goes 8x. So if you're making $120,000 a year, you get $1 million. It's not how much money you make. It's what your buying power is. It's not how much money you make. It's how much your money, how far your money goes.
Right.
And in America, UK is expensive.
Yeah.
I don't find Scandinavia to be expensive to live. Like if you live in one of the nicer apartments in Copenhagen, this place, it's a little expensive, but I mean, you can live. My place in Beverly Hills was $120,000 a month. You can drop $5 to $6 million in Scandinavia. You can walk everywhere. You don't need a car. You can't have a Lambo here. People think you're a douchebag.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so a lot of the world, you can't even be as flashy as America. So the temptation to spend your money goes down. So I think most people should live in, you can call them lower tier income countries, or you can reverse it and say, high spending power countries. Go live in Colombia. Go, you know, people go, well, what about my kids? What about them? They're going to be better off if they grow up in multiple cultures. Kids get smart. You think school makes kids smart? No. Travel, experience, different cultures.
Do you homeschool your kids?
Yeah, homeschool is better. I mean, for sure. And you can't, I don't know how people put their kids in public school in America. My friend put his kid in public school. And he's like, had to pull him out. He's like, at 7 years old, other kids were like showing his kid porn on the phone.
Yeah.
And there ain't nobody. He's like, oh man, you don't want your kids around that stuff.
Where's your online education company based then?
So if I have a very multinational structure because I
and have different taxes depending on.
Yeah.
Really?
So it depends. In America, I have global different companies. As I said, as an American citizen, you know, you don't gain the benefit. You would gain as a UK citizen if you are not. See, US doesn't. I could spend one day per year in the US and 364 days in Thailand. Okay. The US treats it as if I'm every day. You pay full tax.
That's interesting.
It's very
interesting. So in England, you can spend, I think, 3 months.
That's right. Now, in your business, I'm assuming all your developing's in the UK.
Right? It is, yeah.
Yeah,
so yeah, it wouldn't make sense for me to move out of the UK.
But you can have a non-UK management company. You can have intellectual property. I wouldn't put your intellectual property in the UK. Mm-hmm. There's lots of it. We can talk offline. There's a lot of legitimate things. Look at Apple. Apple's in Ireland. Yeah. Apple's it. I have some big law firms I work with in New York City. These are the biggest of the big, you know. And I went into a business meeting in Manhattan and there was all this whiteboard. They were erasing it. And it had like all this. And I was talking to my lawyer and I said, you know, I had a complicated business structure. I had more than 50 companies, you know. And I was like, what's that? And they're like, oh, that's the deal. We just reorganized, restructured for this person. And I'm like, was it more complicated than mine? And she goes, it was 800 global subsidiaries linked together. Jeez. I think it was probably, my guess, it's probably, they were probably doing Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos. Probably.
Wow.
My guess is Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos. I'm not sure about Elon Musk. He's a little different, but they probably have 800 entities in probably 40 countries. You want diversification because I tell people most important reason to go global, not for tax reasons, but don't put your eggs in one political basket, man. Countries rise and fall. People, we're too short-sighted. We think, oh, UK as we know it, America as we know it, EU as we know it. These empires will fall. Could be tomorrow, could be in, it won't be 100 years. 100 years sounds long for you, but you're gonna probably set up some trust for the family.
We do.
Your kids and grandkids are gonna be 100 years old. So when I find people structuring in one place, I'm like, you really trust politicians that they're going to do what's right for you?
Yeah.
Spread out. Oldest rule in the book, diversification.
Yeah.
So I diversify my countries too.
Yeah. We've got real estate in all over the world. 95% in the UK. Yeah.
You need to get that ratio. That's a little too much.
Yeah. But then it's a tough one because the caveat is invest where you know. So if you're just buying stuff in random areas, you don't
know. No, not be random. Pick one other place, get good at it. You're smart. People underestimate. I remember when I was like 2011, I was like, is it too late for me to learn how to podcast and build a personal brand? You can learn skills pretty quick.
So you think people should invest, if they're investing in real estate, do it all over the world?
I wouldn't say all over. I would say focus on, I call it 60, 30, 10. For me, I think you should have 60% of your real estate in the UK.
Yeah.
30% in a big region that you really commit to knowing. Could be Dubai, for example. Okay. You get to know it. And then 10% in kind of an exotic place, maybe Brazil or Colombia. So that's that way you're elite. So I wouldn't say own properties in 40 countries.
That's interesting. I'm gonna try and get that stature around that.
Yeah.
That'll be next time I see safer. You, it will be safer because at the moment it's about 95.
It's not about how much money you make. A lot of people, I've seen so many entrepreneurs. I've been an entrepreneur since I was 19. I've seen so many people come and go. What's one thing to make $1 million for a year, 2 years, 5 years? It's another thing to make it for 50 years. And so what I'm telling you, I've been in business. I've had 5 multimillionaire entrepreneur mentors. That's how I started, taught me how to make millions. But I've also had 3 Forbes list billionaires on the Forbes list. One's in the UK that I've owned businesses with 50-50. So I know what the poor do because I grew up that way. I know what the regular millionaire does, but I'm unique in that. I know what, not what social media says. I know what the real billionaires do and they do what I'm saying.
Mm.
One of my friends is on the Forbes list. He sold a poker company for 4.8 billion cash. He's a little bit in London, but he's in Central America big time. He owns a lot of the hotels. So watch what the wealthy do. They have 800 global subsidiaries if you're wealthy enough.
Well, it's been a great interview.
Thanks for having me.
I've got a little gift for you as well.
Is it a free real estate, a piece of property? I'll take it. He said he has a castle for me.
Interesting you mentioned tequila. I know you love tequila, so I've got you
awesome.
Some tequila.
Oh, thank you, man. That's awesome.
Don Julio.
Why don't you get some property in Mexico?
Yeah, I should have.
Do you get your own agave tequila farm?
I've also got you another little thing. I don't know. I know you like to read a lot of books. I don't know if you, you probably haven't read this book. Do you know a guy called Stephen Bartlett?
What's the book called? Let me see.
It's called The Diary of a CEO.
I haven't read it.
You need to read this.
There we go.
It's a really, really good book. So
Diary of a
CEO.
Okay.
The guy who wrote it.
Oh, I've seen this in the UK airport, but I haven't bought it. Okay.
Right. So.
The 33 Laws.
Yeah. And he's a dragon on Dragon's Den.
Okay.
Really young guy. Made a lot of money.
Yeah.
I read this and I was really refreshed and inspired. So.
I bet you this will have a higher return on investment for my life than some
very
tequila.
Lovely, but that was a lot more money.
And this will be more fun.
Yeah.
Would you rather be rich or have fun?
I'd rather both.
So there you go. So what I'm going to do, Jeremy, remind me, I'm going to be sipping this tequila while I read this book. How about that?
Amazing. Thank you so much, Ty.
I appreciate it. Yeah.